Please take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 5, if you would, please. Genesis chapter 5. We're going to read two verses of Scripture in Genesis chapter 5, and then a couple in chapter 6, and then in chapter 9. The book of Genesis, a message entitled, Make Your Later Years Better Than Your First. Make your later years better than your first. Out of respect for the Word of God, let's all stand for the reading, please. Genesis chapter 5. Beginning in verse 23, the Bible says, And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Drop down to chapter 6 and verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 22, Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Genesis chapter 9, beginning in verse 18. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth, and Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Word of God. Lord, may it never get commonplace in our life, how we need it. Just as a human body needs bread and water to sustain itself, Lord, we need the water and the bread of your word. And Lord, I pray that you would indeed feed us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, as you look at the genealogy, and of course many times we look at genealogies just purely from a historical standpoint, trying to find out where people all fit in a particular family tree. But it's interesting in this particular chapter, it says in verse 5, And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. The Bible goes on to say in verse 8, And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. In verse 11, And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And in verse 14, all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And then it says in verse 17, and all the days of Mahaliel were 895 years, and he died. And then it says in verse 20, and all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Then it goes on and talks about how Enoch was not, because God took him. And then it goes on to say in verse 27, And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And so we find that all throughout this particular chapter, including verse 31, where it talks about Lamech, it talks about where these people died. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. I believe that we're living in the last days. Amen. One of the indicative things about the last days, it tells us in Luke that there's going to be earthquakes and tragedies that happen throughout the course of the world. When you look at the second hand that moves on your watch, you notice that with each tick of that second hand, there are people who slip out into eternity. Someone has tried to calculate the death rate of the world's population. And they say that there are approximately 120 people who slip out into eternity every single minute. So that means in the course of 1 hour's time, since we've started this service, And if we conclude, say, right around noontime, that will mean some 7,200 people have slipped out into eternity. So some 3,600 folks have slipped out into eternity since we started this service this morning. That's not counting the tragedy that happened just about this time on a Sunday morning, last Sunday morning, when who knows what the death toll will eventually be because of that tragedy there in Asia. Some, they figure anywhere from 124,000 to now upwards to 150,000 people who have been washed out into eternity. They say that over a third of those were children. Indeed, the Bible is true when it says, "Our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanishes away." I draw your attention to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. The book starts out with the word God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory, and I like this verse 3, and the express image of His person. In other words, if you want to know who God is, you look at the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the express image of God. Amen? And so we see here, though, in this particular passage, as we look at this book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, as we look at this coming year, if the Lord tarries His coming, gives us all of 2005, yet as we embark on this new year, here it is, January the 2nd, 2005. I mean, my, what an opportunity lies before us. Amen? And we think about the, I didn't even hear a response of an amen. Amen? God has given us another year. And I mentioned to the men as we met before this service, and as I was praying for this service, that what an opportunity we have. There's just something about the beginning of a new year. There's just something about the beginning of a new calendar year. Amen? I mean, January. I mean, the first. A new year, a new start, a fresh start. And even though one day is as important as another day in the life of the believer, yet it seems that we're hit with a new opportunity, fresh opportunities. Amen? And so we see that the Bible says, though, that we're living in the last days. Since the birth of Jesus Christ, I believe these are the last days. It is also referred to, since the birth of Jesus, to this time as the age of grace. That means mankind does not deserve what God is allowing us to go through on this earth. In other words, He's given mankind an opportunity to respond to the glorious gospel message. I've said this before, but I never wanted to get commonplace. When we think of the matter of our salvation, when we think of the angelic host who followed Lucifer in his rebellion against God in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah chapter 14, we find that, hey, they don't get another opportunity. They don't have a second chance. But praise God, we have a second chance. Mankind has an opportunity to escape the consequences of sin, which is death, by trusting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's why the angelic host desires, I believe, to look into our salvation. Because it's a wonderment to them, because they don't have that chance, and mankind has a second opportunity, and many of them are thumbing their nose in the air saying, "No, God, I'm not going to do what You say. I want my own way. I'll be in charge of my own destiny." Someone has said, when you choose your lifestyle, you also choose the consequences of that lifestyle. When you make a decision, you choose the results or the consequences of that decision. And for many, because they have not chosen the way of God and His plan of salvation for mankind, then they have also chosen to go to a place called hell. How awful that is. Amen? We cannot do anything when we think of this past year of 2004 regarding the past except these things. Some of us, we can remember 2004. And the Bible says that we need to be taught to number our days, that we can apply our hearts unto wisdom. We can remember the past. We can also choose to do like Paul said. We can forget the past, forgetting those things which are behind. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We can choose to learn from the past. Amen. And I trust we will learn from the past. We can choose to confess the failures of the past. And you see, these are all choices that we have. It's not contingent upon anyone else. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I trust that the past will also be used to motivate us in a positive way. We may look at the past in a positive light and say, look what God has done, the blessings He has wrought. But we can also look and say, boy, I blew it back there. And yet we are faced now with the present and with great anticipation for the future, should the Lord tarry His coming, and we can be motivated to serve Him, to thrive, as the banner says, in 2005. Let's make sure that our later years, should God give us years, let's make sure that our later days, our later years are much better than our first years. Amen. You know, as I was looking at this passage of Scripture, and the last time I preached from the book of Genesis, I brought out the fact in verse 26 of chapter 4, it says, then after the birth of Enos, it says, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. And then you get into chapter 5, and you read this great account. There's not a whole lot said about Enoch, but where it says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What an astounding mental picture that gives to me. I'm picturing Enoch walking throughout his day, from sunup to sundown, day after day after day, walking in fellowship with the blessed Lord. And then one day the Lord just saying, hey, Enoch, why don't you just keep coming on up with me? And I don't know exactly how it took place. I know Elijah, they sent down a chariot, his chariot with the horses there, and picked up Elijah, and he went as a whirlwind into heaven. I don't know how it happened with Enoch. The Bible doesn't tell us. But my, what an astounding thing that must have been. I mean, just to be with God all the time, on earth and then in heaven. Amen? He was not, for God took him. I thought, you know, Enoch, when he was born, and he started when he reached the age of accountability, he realized that he was a sinner in need of a Savior. And he embraced Christianity. He embraced the ways of God. And so we find that, hey, he made sure that even though he started out as all mankind does, as sinners, that he wasn't going to end up that way. He wasn't going to end up in a place called hell. He wasn't going to end up eternally separated from God. And so he embraced the Savior of all mankind. Amen? And so he made sure that his later years were not going to be like his first years. But then I also see some decisions that were made in these early chapters where there were some people who started right, but yet they didn't finish right. And folks, I don't know about you, but every single one of us could look at the past and say, boy, I could do some things different. And we may not be able to right all those wrongs, but I tell you what, we can make sure that whenever our time comes, through maybe a earthly tragedy as happened a week ago, maybe through the natural process of death that overtakes mankind as two slip out into eternity every single second that the time goes, oh my friend, no matter which way we're taken, we can make sure that whenever that time comes, that we're very right with God, that we're on track with God, and that our present years and our later years can be better than our first years. I read the account here just a little bit about how that God in chapter 6, He looks over the face of the world and He sees that the imagination of man's heart was only evil continuously, the Scripture says. And how it repented the Lord that He had even made mankind. And He said, you know, my spirit's not always going to strive with man. I'm not going to keep always coming and wooing him. I'm not always going to keep trying to get his attention and trying to get him to do the right thing and make the right decisions. And so he said, you know, I'm going to destroy man from off the face of the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Boy, I thank God for that. Don't you? I mean, I'm sure Noah does right now. But you know, as much as we find Noah doing the right thing, and we here in this particular passage as he builds the ark and he walks in the spirit of obedience, we find there at the end, he blows it by his wicked and evil lifestyle. And I say, boy, I don't want to go out like that. I don't want the last event recorded about my life being some sinful activity that I got involved in. Amen? So here we find a man like Enoch, even though very little is said, he goes out on top. He made sure that he finished right. Amen? But then we find a man, Noah, and the last thing when we see and we read in chapter 9 where he died, as all men will die, we find that he, the last recorded event is him being drunk. And my message isn't against liquor this morning. But what I want us to be hit with as we embark on this new year is let's make our later years, let's make our latter days better than our first days. And my, when we begin to look at some of the Bible characters, we find example after example after example of men and women who made some good decisions and men and women who made some poor decisions, and they reaped the consequences of their decisions. And we will too. What an example they are for us. I'm reminded of, just as we'll get into the book of Genesis and we find the account of Lot and Abraham. Lot and Abraham had the same opportunities. And yet we find Abraham determining to walk in the way of the Lord and do the right thing. And even though he had some blips in the screen, so to speak, and he had some failures in his life, as all men do, we find that he had a heart for God. He wanted to do the right thing. And we find him finishing strong and finishing right. We find a man, Lot, who had those same kind of opportunities, but determined to walk the way of the world and do his own thing and go on his own way. And we find just tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. My friend, I don't know about you, but I want my later years to be better than my first years. Amen? Oh, I'm reminded of the great Apostle Paul. We find him there in the early chapters of the book of Acts as the man called Saul. And we find him, he's wrecking havoc of the New Testament church. I mean, he's going from city to city and he's bringing devastation and persecution amongst the true believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he, in his sincerity, is thinking he's doing God's service, but he's not. And there on the road to Damascus in chapter 9, we find him giving his heart and his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We find him saying that first thing, Lord, who art thou? And then once he gets saved, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And we find him giving his life from that time on to make his life for God count more than his life for self and for Satan did in his early days. And that's the kind of determination that we need to have in our life. I'm talking mainly, I believe, this morning to people who know Jesus Christ is their personal Savior. You're on your way to heaven. You look forward to the streets of gold, the mansion that He's prepared. You look forward to see loved ones who've gone on before. You look forward to all the glory that eternity will bring. Oh, but my friend, We must live right now. We must do the right thing now. We must thrive now. We must move forward now. We must grow now in our most holy faith. Amen? I want my later years to be better than my early years. And we find that Paul, he was able in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Amen? He said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. My friend, that's the way to go out. To go out on top. To make sure that your later years are better than your early years. I'm reminded of the man Matthew. He was sitting at the receipt of custom. He was a tax collector, hated by the people of his day. And yet we find him embracing Jesus Christ as Savior. And there he is, he's collecting the taxes, and then the Lord comes to him after salvation and says, hey, follow me. And so Matthew, he doesn't stop and think about the loss of wages. He doesn't stop and think about his retirement program. He doesn't stop and think about family. He doesn't stop and think about all the ramifications that the decision will make. Jesus came to him and said, follow me. And in a step of faith, he leaves it all and knows that, hey, if he follows Jesus, Jesus will take care of everything. And that's what Jesus did for him. Amen. He said, I'm going to make sure that my later years, my life now, is better than the life I had. And we need to do the same. Oh, I'm reminded of John Mark, how even after he was saved, we find him on that first missionary journey in Acts chapter 14 or 13, we find him turning back. We find him going back, and we find him quitting that missionary team and determining, hey, this is not for me. I'll just go on back into oblivion. But then we find him getting his heart right. Then towards the end of Paul's life, he says, bring back John Mark for me. Bring back John, because he's profitable to me for the ministry. And we find where, hey, at one time he was known as a quitter, but then now he's known as a faithful individual. He can be counted on. He can be trusted. So we find that there somewhere along the line, he said, I'm going to make sure that my later years are better than my early years. And so maybe we'll recall to him being a quitter, but we'll also remember him getting back on track. And that's what we need to do. Amen? I mean, every single one of us, as we breathe in the air right now, we can make that same determination this morning that we can make the present and the future, should God continue to give us day by day, year by year, that we can make sure it's better than our past, better than our early years, better than our early days. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Oh, Noah, he started right, but look how he went out. How do you want your epitaph to be written? What do you want on your tombstone? How do you want it recorded that you went out? Serving God or serving self? Serving Satan? Serving the ways of the world? Let's go out on top. Amen? You say, Pastor, how do I do that? How is it? Is it difficult? Is it hard? Oh, no, my friend. It's really quite simple. And this, I'm not just talking about faithfulness to the house of God, even though that's important. I'm not just talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm talking about some basic truths. Number one, you've got to be changed from the inside out. Amen? And that happens when you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You need to be introduced to Jesus Christ. You need to be reconciled to Him. You're at enmity if you're outside of Christ. The wrath of God abides on you, the Scripture says. And we never know when that time's going to come. When is a tragedy going to happen in North America? Could it happen? Oh, my friend, when people got up a week ago, many of them, I heard accounts, had partied till 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and they were sleeping the morning away trying to recover from their party life. Others were just having a leisurely Sunday morning. Others were going about in the hustle and bustle of the day. And just like that, a tragedy, as they call an act of God, strikes, and over 100,000 people are washed out into eternity. They never knew that last Sunday morning would be their death day. And you and I never know when this may be our last day or when that day will come. And so let's make sure that our later days and our later years are better than our first years and our first days. And that happens when we make some holy decisions that we're going to follow the Lord no matter what. And it starts with a matter of your eternal destiny. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Don't put it off. Don't wait till next year. Don't wait till the next evangelistic service. Don't wait till the next time the gospel is given. Determine that today is the day of salvation. You may not have this afternoon. You may not have tonight. You may not have tomorrow. You may not have another year. You need to make the decision to trust Christ as Savior today. Amen? Today. 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 And my friend, as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to make that determination that you're going to live for Him today. Not this afternoon, not tonight, but right now, you're going to make that determination, I'm going to serve God. And not tomorrow, not next week. No, I'll just wait till the next month to get it all going. Oh no, my friend. Today, determined to follow Him, determined to walk in the way of obedience. Noah started right. Look at verse 22 of Genesis chapter 6. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. My friend, you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. He's real in your life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now you need to walk in the way of obedience. God came to Noah and said, Noah, this is what I want you to do. And it didn't matter what his sons were going to do. It didn't matter what his wife was going to say or do. It didn't matter what his grandparents said. It didn't matter what his parents said. It didn't matter what anyone else was saying in the community. He needed to obey God. And when the bottom line is taken, and we stand before Jesus at His judgment seat, hey, we're going to have to give an account. So then every one of us, Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We need to be obedient. Dear child of God, you say, yes, I'm on my way to heaven, but folks, are you obedient? Are we obedient? If you're going to have your later years be better than your first years, they've got to be marked with obedience. There came a point in time in Noah's life where he disobeyed the Lord. And there's never a time of safety in your life or in my life where we can kick back and say, you know, I've done so many righteous things. I've lived so many good years for the Lord Jesus Christ. I deserve to be able to sow some wild oats. I deserve to be able to deviate here and there. Oh no, my friend, don't go in that way. Make sure you receive a full reward, 2 John verse 8, amen? Let's not lose the things that we've wrought. Let's not lose the ground that we've gained. Let's move forward for Him. But we've got to be obedient as we go, amen? Oh, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. I trust that to be said of us when our day comes, when tragedy may strike North America, when our life is taken either naturally or by accident or by disease. I trust it to be said of us, hey, thus did Mike Sullivan according to all that God commanded him, so did he. That's the way I want to go out. Is that the way you want to go out? Oh, my friend, our lives have to be marked with obedience. And then it's all topped off with the word faith. But we think of terms as Christians. Faith seems just to be another nice word that we use in church. It's something that we talk about maybe as we talk about religion and so on, about faith. But the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. You and I, we're not to live our life by feelings. We're not to live our life by sight. We're not to live our life by circumstances. We're not to live our life by people. We're not to live our life by popularity. We're not to live our life by things. We're to live our life marked by faith. That means trusting in the Lord. My friend, when the people of the nation of Israel needed to cross the Jordan River, the priest's feet had to be smacking the top of the water of Jordan before it would part. That means they couldn't say, boy, the water's deep. The water's rushing at that time of year. My, it's a far, far walk across. How are we going to do it? If they went by sight, hey, they would never have embarked to cross. If they went by their feeling, hey, priest, hey, fellow priest, I don't know about you, but we're going to drown. And we're not at the back of the pack. We're at the front of the pack. We're going to drown if we go this way. That water's deep. My friend, and they started to walk, and they got closer and closer to the water's edge. And boy, there they went, and the water parted, and they went over on dry ground. My friend, they didn't go by their feelings. Because their feelings were deceiving. Their feelings told them God cannot be trusted. Their feelings told them that they were going to drown. Their feelings told them that, hey, there's some wrong orders being given around here. And yet at the same time, God was in control. And God honored their faith. And when you and I determine in our minds and our hearts that since we're saved, we're going to be obedient to Him, and we walk the walk of faith, we can have trust in God. Faith in God. He can be trusted with every jot, every tittle of detail in our lives. Amen. Oh, my friend, they didn't go by circumstances. They didn't go by feelings. They didn't go by the crowd around them. They said, look, we're going forward. And that's what we need to do. We need to move forward. We need to have our lives marked, number one, by salvation. Number two, after we're saved, by obedience. And many as I preach this message this morning, you say you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but is your life marked by obedience? Enoch was saved. Noah was saved. But my friend, one ended right and one ended wrong. How are you and I going to end our lives? Are our later years going to be better than our early years? We make that decision with each moment that we live. What's your decision this morning? How are you going to live beginning now? Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The invitation, yes, is to the unsaved. We want you saved. More importantly, God wants you saved. He loves you, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Christian, He came to give us life, and life more abundant. He wants you to enjoy the journey. But your life and my life, it must be marked with obedience. Are you obedient in the ways of God? Are you walking with Him? Do you have some sin you need to take care of in your life? Oh, for your sake. For Christ's sake. For those around your sake. Why don't you get right? Why don't you determine to live a life of obedience? And Christian, we must ever keep before us that this life is a life of faith. Many times, everything around us, everything we're used to making and basing decisions on comes from without. But my friend, God says we're to not walk by sight, but by faith. And many times the walk of faith goes against our feeling, goes against the circumstances, goes against people, goes against our own thinking. But we do what's right because God's in control. And God can control things a lot better than we can. Is your life a life of faith? Make it that this morning.